If you would, please turn to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. I want to read verses 15, 16, and 17. Galatians 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. What I've entitled this message is When It Pleased God. Man, as he is born, the natural man, born in iniquity, brought forth speaking lies, being dead in trespasses and in sins, that man, still in that state, cares absolutely nothing about God being pleased. At best, he might give a fleeting thought to it if his conscience is making him feel guilty. That's at best. But man, as he is naturally born, the unregenerate, dead in trespasses and sin, doesn't care anything about God. And that includes no matter how much lip service they may put out. Even religious men don't actually care about God being pleased because they're more actually concerned with God not being mad at them. You know that old theology they sang that song about? God's going to get you for that. Man is so worried about what he does that he gives no thought to what God has done. Amen. And God is doing. Paul is writing here of what God was pleased to do, and in so doing, Paul is telling us what God is doing and what God shall do. He starts it off here, and I do want, there's about four things I want to show here. And I'll just give you the list right now. The first one is separation. The second one is salvation. The third one is revelation because of salvation. And the fourth one is proclamation. But he starts it off here when he says, but it pleased God. Now, when you see the word but there, that's putting a difference between what he just wrote. And what was he had just wrote in verse 14? Well, 13. He says, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in what? The Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals. In mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. And you get that great word, but, when it pleased God. This was Paul's state. This is what Paul was doing, known then as Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, had warrants in his pocket to where he could arrest anybody who named the name of Christ and take them back in jail, to jail in Jerusalem. Have him bound over to be killed. He said, I persecuted the church. That's the state he's in. When God says, but when it pleased God, but when it pleased God, never forget, when it comes to God being pleased, it starts with God. It doesn't start with us. It starts with God. Paul writes here that his life, his birth, his setting apart, his salvation, his knowledge of Jesus Christ, and his ministry came from God himself. Nothing came from him. Everything that he just wrote about in verse 13 and verse 14, he says in another place, I count it but dung.
Yeah.
I count it but manure. I count it but a waste product. The only thing worth knowing now is our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that I had been persecuting. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, this is the separation. Now, life comes from God, even physical life. However, Paul writes here, he is writing of a setting apart, a separation in that manner. If you look at the word, it means literally a setting apart to an appointment. To, it's basic, ordained. It's a setting apart to something. It's not just being separated from his mother's womb, being born physically into this world. Although that was done when it pleased God. It's the same thing that the Lord wrote, the Lord said in the book of Jeremiah. You don't have to turn there, but it's Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. When he wrote, before I formed thee in the belly, what? I knew thee. I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, before the physical birth took place, out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart before you were born. And I ordained thee, what? A prophet unto the nations. That's what the Lord said concerning Jeremiah. That's what Paul's saying here. When he says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, Paul was exactly where God had ordained for him to be when he was in his mother's womb. And before he was in the womb, what? God knew him. God knew him. This is the same man that wrote that we are chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. If you believe Christ, Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, knew you before you were ever formed. What a blessing. God appointed me from my mother's womb. God set him apart to be a believer and to be a preacher and to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Before he came out of the womb. This was going to happen. This was going to happen. He was separated from his mother's womb. And then it says, and called me by his grace. Now this call is not the gospel call. This is the call of the good shepherd when he calls his sheep by name. That's what Paul's writing up here. He says, he called me by his grace. This is not being called to be a preacher. Walter has so admirably and so well pointed that out. It doesn't say that preachers are called in the scripture. It says they're sent.
Yeah, amen.
That's what it says. How shall they preach except they be what? Sent.
Yeah.
This is talking about Paul, talking about his being called to life, to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ by what? God, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. What? And if he separated you from your mother's womb, you're going to be called.
Amen.
You're going to be called what? By his grace. You're not going to be called by your works. You're not going to be called because of your works. You're going to do some works because of his call. You're going to believe him because of his call. But this call by name, my sheep hear my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. Yeah. They follow what? Me. Christ said that. This is the call of the good shepherd of his sheep by name to life and faith. And here, particularly, this call is always individual. Paul said, God called me. I don't know if God was calling anybody else when he called me, but his call to me was individual. When 3,000 were saved in one day, each one was called individually.
Amen.
If he calls you, it is separate from any other call of his chosen people. And first and foremost, it's his call. And it's by his grace. Paul is saying that God set me apart in this world and God saved me by his grace. And if it's grace, it's not works. If it's grace, it is no more work. Because if it's work, it's not grace. That's the definition Paul himself gives us in the book of Romans. The call is by grace. And you cannot separate these two things. Well, these three things. It pleased God to do it. And it pleased God to separate me, set me apart from my mother's womb. And that little conjunction ties those things together. Called me by his grace. But then he says this statement. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Revelation is a result of salvation. He called me by his grace too. That's a word of purpose. That's a reason why. He called me to reveal his son, what? Not to me, in me.
Yeah.
In me. There's lots of people get the son revealed to them. But if they don't get the son revealed in them, by him, by his grace, it doesn't do any good.
Amen. That's right.
There's a lot of head knowledge out there about Jesus Christ. If he doesn't reveal his son in you, you don't know Christ. That's just the way it is. That's what he's promised. Revelation is a part of salvation. The salvation of God reveals his son to the now faithful sinner, the believing sinner. Being called by the grace of God reveals his son in me. Because there is absolutely no salvation without the son. There is no grace without the son. And there is no knowledge without the son. What does it take for the salvation of a sinner? For the revelation of a sinner in a sinner? It takes the grace of God. It takes the power of God. How is this power talked about in the scriptures? Well, it's called in John being born again. It's called in John being born from above. It's also called in John chapter 1 being born of God, of God, of God. That's what it means to be having been called by his grace. You are born from above. Except a man be born again, be born from above, he shall not what? See the kingdom of God. And if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. But by His grace, if you believe, it's because He has called you to His salvation. Jesus Christ told His disciples, after they said, "Thou art the Christ," Peter said it, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus Christ told him, He said, "That flesh and blood," what? "Didn't reveal this to you."
Amen.
Flesh and blood didn't reveal it unto you. I can't reveal it unto you now. But my Father, which is in heaven, can reveal it
Amen.
To you. And He can reveal His Son in you. Yeah. In you. Earl used to be fond of saying, if I can talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of it.
Yeah.
And knowing Earl the way I was, if he could talk you into something, he could talk you out of it. But not this. Not him. If God saves you, you are saved. If you know the Son, it is only by the revelation of God.
Amen.
What? By His grace. The Holy Spirit teaches of the Son, reveals the things of the Son to those who have the Son in them. To reveal His Son, what? In me. In me. And then he says this. Now this is pertaining to the Apostle Paul. That. It's another word of purpose. There's a reason the Son was revealed in Paul. That I might preach Him among the heathen. And this is the proclamation part. Seen it. Separation. Salvation. Revelation. And now proclamation. The salvation of God by grace and the revealing of the Son in you is not something we are to keep secret. Now, I'm not saying we're all preachers. That's what Paul was here. This is Paul a preacher, Paul an apostle. I'm not saying that we are all preachers, but I am saying this. We are all to be proclaimers of the Son of God. If the Son of God has been revealed in you. You can't preach Him. You can't proclaim Him without knowing Him.
Amen. That's right.
I said this a few weeks ago. You can't teach what you don't know. It's not possible. A lot of people try. I said a few weeks ago. There's people all around here I know who have tried to teach. And it became very evident by, and I'm talking about they're trying to teach the Bible. It became very evident by their words that they didn't know what they were talking about. And the bad part is, the reason they didn't know what they were talking about is they didn't know who they were talking about. That's the lacking part. Because if you don't know Him, you can't teach Him. If you don't know Him, you can't preach Him. If you don't know Him, you can't proclaim Him even to your neighbor. I remember years ago when I first met Walter and other people I'd met. You know, I mean, I didn't know much. You're going back 35 years now. I didn't know much. But what I did know, I could say. That I don't know if God will save you. But I do know this, that if God does for you what He did for me, what He did to me, and He did for me, you'll be saved.
Amen.
Because He put me in a corner where I had nowhere else to turn. And if you haven't ever been there, you may not know Him. Because there is that thing, you know, some people call the law of work. It's called the spirit of bondage unto fear. We don't have it anymore, but bless God, we had it.
Amen.
We had it. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God.
Yeah.
And if you never had any fear for your soul, for your life, for your very being, you know, things are a little iffy. Because you won't turn to him until he showed you you've got nowhere else to turn. And he will reveal himself to you. Because Jesus Christ is the answer. Here Paul's fixing to say it. He's also the message. He's the answer to the question, but he's the message. Paul's purpose is written here. Preach what? Him. Him. What? To reveal his son in me that I might preach doctrine. No. That I might preach law. No. No. I might preach him. I've determined to know nothing among you save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ Jesus is the answer and Christ Jesus is the message. And that's what we try to do when we preach here in this place. We try to preach him. What? The one who is pleased to separate me from my mother's womb. The one who called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. We preach the son who is God. We preach him who calls all, every single one of his sheep by name. By name. What? By his grace. We preach his son by the revelation of grace. There is no other message. And I'm here to tell you today, separation, salvation, revelation, and proclamation are all of grace. Separation, salvation, revelation, and proclamation are all of Christ Jesus. And separation, salvation, revelation, and proclamation happen when it pleases God. When it pleases God. That's for Paul, and that's for every single child of God. There's no difference. Paul said his salvation was a pattern. The way God saved the Apostle Paul is the way he saves every single son of God. By grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have to say that to be good Baptists, Mason. I believe it. I believe it. People get upset. Y'all always quote that verse. Thank God we do. Somebody needs to. Thank God if you believe that verse.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What? Unto good works.
Yeah.
Unto good works. What? He's ordained that you should walk in them. So walk in them.
Yeah.
Believe him. Believe him. Now I want to leave you with some more things about a pleased Lord. Because the scriptures tell us our Lord is pleased by many things. But before I get too carried away on that, I do want to give you two negatives. Things that don't please God. And then we'll go to the positive. First one. Now you don't have to turn here, but I got scriptures down here. This is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Now, the second negative is just about the same thing as the first, just in different words. It's from the book of Romans 8 and verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
Basically, they're saying the same thing. Because without faith, his faith, now the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of God's elect, the faith of God's dear Son, no man pleases God without that faith. His faith. He's the author and the finisher of it, and he's the giver of it.
Amen, that's right.
Man naturally, and those in the flesh are those without faith. They cannot please God. Therefore, they cannot please God. Man naturally, and this is what this is saying. This is what the world don't want to hear. This is talking about ability and the lack of it. They cannot please God. It is not within the scope of their abilities to please God. Because without faith, it's impossible. It's not improbable. It's not unlikely. It's impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe. Must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith, which comes by the Holy Spirit when he calls you, must be in the person before there can ever be any discussion of pleasing God. Four, this is 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. This is starting the positives though now. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, what? Knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of his Son pleases God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Now, it's not, as Earl always said, and a lot of other people have said, and I've said, it's not the preaching of foolishness. But to the world, this is foolishness.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now, y'all sitting there listening to a man. Talk about something talk about another man I never met personally, Mason. Not in the flesh.
Yeah.
But I have his witness right here. I have his word right here. And we have his doctrine. We have his truth.
Yeah.
And y'all believe it. What is wrong with you people? That's what the world thinks. There's something wrong with you people. No. We're the only ones, if you know Christ, we're the only ones there's something right with. And it's not of myself, it's of him. If you know Christ, it's because God has revealed his Son in you. That's right. He's right. Not us, not me, not you. He's right. The preaching of his Son pleases God. And those that believe are saved. And here's something else. They stay saved. This is 1 Samuel 12 and verse 22. For the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, will not forsake his people. For they're so nice and wonderful and obedient. No. For his great name's sake.
Amen.
Because, here's why. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now, is that not a blessing? God will never forsake his people for his name's sake. It's not because we deserve not to be forsaken. We deserve to be forsaken. We deserve not to have been called in the first place. And we're not doing all that great a job after we've been called. The only time I do anything good is when he works in me both the will and the do of his good pleasure. If it's dependent upon me, I'm a goner. I'm done for. But for his great name's sake, he will not forsake his people. Why? Because it pleased the Lord, what? To make you his people. The scriptures are clear. God has a people, and the Lord has a people for his name's sake. It's for his glory.
Yeah.
And he will never forsake them. And how does the Lord have a people? The only way he could. He made them his people. He didn't ask them. He didn't court them. He didn't woo them. He says he did some of that stuff, and it didn't work, Mason. He made them his people. The Old Testament and the New Testament agree. Paul agrees with Samuel right here. God makes his people, and God calls them by his grace. They are his, and he will not forsake his people for his name's sake. Now, and it pleased the Lord to make what? You his people. That's what Paul wrote. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. It pleased God to save the Apostle Paul. It pleases God to save every one of his people. To what? Make you his people. How is this possible? How can it be that horrible sinners are made children of God? Ooh, the pleasure of the Lord.
Amen.
Isaiah 53 and verse 10 says this, yet it pleased the Lord, what? To bruise him.
Yeah.
To bruise him. He hath put him to grief. It doesn't stop there though. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, what? He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In his hand. And it pleases the Lord to make you his people. How can he do that with a horrible sinner? It pleased the Lord to bruise what? Him. Those for whom he was bruised will never be bruised. Because he was bruised.
Amen.
And he was only bruised once. Once, folks, once. That's it. There is no celebration of the Mass here. We're not bringing down the broken body, broken of Christ to put him in the cup and the wafer. It only happened once.
Yeah.
We are to remember him in the Lord's table. We are to remember he did break his body once. His blood was shed once. And once only. And it was made an offering to the Father. And the Father accepted him completely. And we are sanctified, set apart, given life, given faith in him. In the one who was bruised. It pleased God to punish sin in the person of his son once and never again. He'll see his seed. He'll call them by his grace. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. That's Psalm 135 and verse 6. Psalm 115 and verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now in the Old Testament, that's in the past tense. The Lord did whatsoever he hath pleased. What's it say in the New Testament? I'm glad you asked. Revelations 4 and verse 11. Says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and what? For thy pleasure.
Yeah.
They are and were created. That's present and past tense. What does the future hold? Exactly what the present holds and the past held. I am the Lord, I change not. If the Lord has done all his good pleasure, he's going to do all his good pleasure, and he's going to keep doing all his good pleasure.
Amen.
And it pleased the Lord to make you his people. He's making more people. He's calling out his elect. The exact same thing, whatsoever the Lord please and for his pleasure. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 14 says this, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. The next verse, that which hath been is now.
Yeah.
And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. God does as God has always done. Yes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is calling out his sheep by name. He is saving them by his grace. What's he going to do tomorrow? He's going to call out his sheep by name. And he's never, ever going to forsake his people because it pleased God to make you his people. God will always do all his good pleasure. Now the question is, oh no it ain't. And the question is, what is the most pleasing thing to God? That's the wrong question. Who is the most pleasing to the Father? Well, all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, plus John actually says that there was one person in whom the Father was well pleased. And y'all know who he is. It's Jesus Christ. Matthew writes it down three times in his gospel. Chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and lo, a voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's what it said at the baptism when Jesus was baptized by John. Then in 12 and verse 18, he says, behold my servant. This is Matthew quoting Isaiah, speaking about Christ and what Christ had done. He said, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And then Matthew 17 and 5, we have the scene at the Mount of the Transfiguration. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Son of God was, is, and always shall be well beloved and well pleasing to the Father. Jesus Christ is God's holy Son. He is well pleasing to the Father, and he always will be. He's the one who is revealed what? In his people. He's revealed to his people, but he's revealed in his people.
Amen, that's right.
And he is who we endeavor to preach, to proclaim, to announce, to speak about. Anyone else is another gospel. Anyone else is a perversion. Separation to his Son, salvation by his Son, revelation of his Son, and proclamation of his Son pleases God. And all four of those things, here's the thing, are the work of God.
Amen.
They're not my works. The only my works is if God is in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yeah.
You understand? But still, that's God's work. Because God is pleased by his own work. Our work only works when he works in us. And the Son came to do the will of the Father. And God the Father was well pleased with the Son, is well pleased with the Son. He is still seated at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
And if he wasn't well pleasing to the Father, he wouldn't be there. God the Father is pleased with his own work. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. You understand? It gives me comfort to know, to read, to believe that my salvation is dependent upon the pleasure of God, not upon me. Not upon me, not even one little teeny tiny bit. It's his work that I believe him. It's his work that I keep believing him. It's his work that he will take me to glory, to meet my Lord Jesus Christ, to see him with my own eyes, to hear him with my own ears. And though the skin worms devour this flesh, I know that yet in my flesh, I'll see God. Whom I'm going to see, not another. I'm not going to need anybody else to ever have to tell me about him. Unless you just want to. Unless you just want to. It's his work. And his work is pleasing to him. And he will do all of his good pleasure. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time. Lord, bless the others as they're in another place preaching your gospel. Give them a message of your incarnate Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has purchased us and is bringing in many sons to glory even as we speak. Thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.